And there shall be no longer any death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the wonders waiting for us in heaven.
So all day, every day, you just feel like a brand new person.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Storytellers, movie makers, and even theologians have their ideas about what heaven might be like. But today, Dr. Evans describes it from the perspective of people who've been there and come back. Let's join him in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12.
Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:4, he's one of three people who went to heaven and came back and talked about it. Jesus, Paul, and John. Paul said that the things he heard and saw there were inexpressible. That is, known language cannot tell you, clarify for you, explain to you what heaven is like. And yet God has given in his word a little taste of the glory of heaven. Fundamentally, at the core of heaven is the reversal of the curse. At the core of heaven is the reversal of sin's effect in the world. Chapter 22, verse 3 of Revelation says, "And there shall no longer be any curse." To put it another way, Revelation 21 and 22 is the reversal of Genesis 3. Genesis 3, when sin entered the world, it produced a curse. So that the world that God created in Genesis 1 and 2, because of Genesis 3, can never be fully enjoyed. God had heaven in mind when he created the world and created the earth heavenly. Sin interrupted that. And that is why every time you get to enjoy something, something goes wrong with it. The new car gets old. The new marriage gets old. The new job gets old. The new house gets old, because everything that happens in this life happens under the curse. It is affected by the presence of sin in the world, and that's why people look for new thrills, because old thrills get old. And they do not last because they are under the curse. But in heaven, there will be no more curse, because there will be no more sin nor its effect. And because there is no more curse, because there is no sin, we read in chapter 21, verse 5, "And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" Everything is brand new all the time. Nothing ever gets old. There are never any negative interruptions. So whatever heaven is, it's always new. There is no second law of thermodynamics. There is no entropy working. There is no running down of matter or history or any such thing, because in heaven, the curse is lifted. How will God make everything new? Let me show you 2 Peter before we get into the specifics of heaven. Chapter 3, verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with the roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up." Verse 12, "Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." In heaven, you will eternally enjoy perfect beauty. John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." But he goes on to say, Verse 19, the foundation stones of the city's wall were adorned with every kind of precious stones. The first foundation, and he lists all of these very precious stones in verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and each one of the gates was a single pearl. Why? Jesus had 12 tribes in the Old Testament. He had 12 apostles in the New Testament. 12 tribes meant the Old Testament saints, 12 pearls, 12 apostles in the New Testament. They represent the New Testament church, the Old Testament saints, the New Testament church. This is the place Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. This is where you and I live. Look at what he says about this city and its beauty. Verse 11, he says, having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper, transparent jasper. Look at verse 18. And the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like crystal glass. Heaven not only will be a place of perfect beauty, it will be a place of perfect worship. Chapter 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle. The tabernacle is where they worship God. Of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. Worship as it was meant to be. There will be pure, sheer excitement. Not one boring moment, because the tabernacle is the city. Next, there will be a place of perfect pleasure. Look at chapter 21, verse 4. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no longer any death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne, behold, says, I am making all things new. He says, in our eternal state, there will never be a time when sadness will show up because something got old. So there's no death. You feel brand new every time the new day starts, and there's no night there. So all day, every day, you just feel like a brand new person. James 1, 16 and 17 says, watch this. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shifting shadow. Now watch this. Everything you enjoy in life comes from God. Right now, if you enjoy it and it is good, it comes from God. Then how come some things in life I don't enjoy? Because of what he calls in James a shifting shadow. What's a shifting shadow? The earth turns on its axis and it turns around the what? The sun. When it's daytime over here, it's nighttime halfway around the earth, but not because the sun changed, but because the earth rotated. Earth is rotating on its axis. And as the earth turns on its axis, it casts a shadow because the back is not toward the sun, it's away from the sun, so it's nighttime. So you don't get to enjoy the daylight because of the shifting shadow. Life has shifting shadows, ups and downs, ebbs and flows. People can cause a shifting shadow. Your sin can cause a shifting shadow. The devil causes a shifting shadow. So one moment I'm in the Son of God and I'm smiling. The next moment I'm crying because earth has given me a shifting shadow. My circumstances keep turning. But in this day, in the New Jerusalem, there is no turning away from the sun. You're in daylight all the time, so you only experience the goodness of God perpetually because there is no shifting shadow. Every place you go, you run into God. So every place you go, you run into good. There will be perfect knowledge, chapter 22, verse 4. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead. Heaven will be the uninterrupted knowledge of God. 1 Corinthians 13, 12 says, I will then know as I am now known. There will be no more secrets. The secrets of God will become unveiled to me, and I will know as I am known. Now, how am I known? God knows me completely. How will I know? I will throughout eternity have the capacity of knowing completely. The reason why it will take eternity to know completely is God is infinite. There is no end to him, so there will never be any end to learning. There will never be any knowledge blocks. You will never forget. Why? Because we will see his face. Not only will I know things, I'll know you, and you'll know me. Because we really won't know each other till we get there. Staggering place to be. There will be perfect knowledge. There will be perfect life. Chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 to 32, they said, let's say a woman gets married, her husband dies, she gets married seven other times, they die. Whose husband is she in the resurrection? Jesus says, none of them. Because in the resurrection, he says, there is no marriage, neither is anyone given in marriage, but you shall be like the angels. You won't be angels, but you'll be like the angels. You'll be different than the angels because you'll have a glorified body, a spiritual body, but you'll be like the angels in that you will not continue with the same human relationships because there will be no need for the things that the relationships give us. Adam was given a helpmate because he needed help. You don't need help in heaven. A husband is to be his wife's security, but she'll never feel insecure in heaven. We have mates because we need companions, but you'll never feel what it's like to be alone in heaven. So the reason won't be there. People have families today to have children, but for the church that goes to heaven, there is no need for procreation. I'll show you why in a moment. So therefore, there is no need for it. And the experience of physical intimacy will be so overshadowed by the experience of divine presence that that will pale in significance compared to the delight of being thrilled every moment of every day. So there will be no need for it, therefore it will not exist, because for the resurrected believer, there will be nothing but uninterrupted, pulsating life. 1 John 3:2 says, as Christ was, so we will be when we see him. 1 Corinthians 15:36 says, we're going to be like Christ. Now this tells you what your body is going to be like. Christ did some remarkable things when he rose from the dead. Number one, he walked through doors when they were closed. So you will have the ability in your glorified body, a body that looks like your body now, you'll be the same race you are now, but it will be constructed differently. It will be flawless, and you'll be able to walk right straight through that back wall or back door without it opening. Still whole in your body. Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, could walk on a cloud. You and I will be able to transport ourselves from one dimension to another dimension of height or breadth simply by deciding to do it. Jesus Christ could eat after he rose from the dead. He didn't need to eat, but he could eat. So he could still enjoy the benefits of physical life. So Jesus Christ had all of these abilities that he could do with his new body. And the Bible says we will be like him. We'll recognize one another in heaven. Mary recognized Jesus when she got a close look at him. So you'll be able to recognize. You'll know that you, that I was who I was on earth. I'll know that you were who you were on earth. Why? Because we're going to look the same way, apart from any flaws. But secondly of all, because our knowledge base will be so great that we'll know everybody anyway. And thirdly, because we're going to be the same people up here that we were down here.
Dr. Evans will tell us more about what we can look forward to in heaven when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, I want to tell you about two special resources we put together to help you build on what we're learning about the afterlife. It starts with all six full-length lessons in this current series, The Afterlife: Glimpses of Heaven and Hell. And we'll also include the study guide that makes it perfect for use with your small group or Sunday school class, as well as your personal devotions. Best of all, we're offering this Afterlife CD and study guide package as our thank you gift to those who make a donation to Tony's ministry. In fact, he's here now with a word about why your partnership is so important.
Well, first of all, I want to thank so many who've come alongside of us and stood with us over the months and over the years, because we couldn't be where we are without you. God is blessing the Urban Alternative. Every week we get letters from people whose lives have been impacted. I got a letter recently from a person who was going to commit suicide, who came across our broadcast and who accepted Christ and now is moving on with their lives. And we've got letters from people in prison and people whose families have remained intact. And one person, when I was at a conference, simply said, our ministry save their lives. So you see, your investment in this ministry is touching the lives of so many other people. But we also need your continued help. We need your expanded help. If we're ministering to you and make a difference for you, would you help make a difference for us? Thank you for your help.
Staying on the radio is our largest expense. Join us today with that contribution and be sure to ask for your CD and study guide package on the afterlife. This offer is only available for a few more days, so visit us right away at tonyevans.org or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 for details. I'll have our contact information again for you a little later, but right now let's pick up where we left off in Revelation chapter 22 as Dr. Evans continues our lesson.
Please notice verse 2. There is in this city a boulevard of trees that are lining, according to verse 1, a crystal clear aqueduct. God's throne is at the top of the city, 1,500 miles up. The water is running down, so gravity exists in the city. Vegetation exists in the city because you got trees, just like Adam had when God created Eden. It's coming down with a boulevard of trees that change fruit every month. So you have seasons in the city, but all good seasons because the fruit is changing. So you've got geology, geography, and these trees are filled with leaves. Now, why are the leaves there? It says for the healing of the nation. Now, watch this now. Didn't we just read there's no death? Well, if there's no death, you can't ever be sick. So why do you need leaves that produce health and well-being and healing if you can never get sick in the first place? Back up to chapter 21, verse 24. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. We know who lives in the city, the Old Testament saints and the church, you and me. We live in the city, but we've got kings here. And they are coming in and out of the city, bringing glory to it. Now, if you're bringing glory to it, that means there's glory outside of it. So they're bringing glory or paying homage to God, like people who go to Mecca every year and pay homage to their God. Here you got kings. Now, in order to have kings, you got to have kingdoms. The city of Jerusalem is only the place where the Old Testament and New Testament saints live. That's the only folk who live in this city. But there are a lot of folks who visit the city. Who are the visitors in this city, the kings and their people who are coming to this city? Well, there's only one group of people left. That's the group of people who are in the millennium. Now watch this. When the tribulation is over, there will be the 1,000-year rule of Christ in which you and I will be living in this city, but it won't be on earth yet. It'll be up there. During the 1,000-year rule of Christ, there will be human beings on earth. At the end of the millennium, everybody who didn't follow Jesus Christ will be placed in hell with the devil. And everybody who did accept Christ in the millennium now marches into eternity. They march into eternity like Adam and Eve was in Genesis 1 and 2. They had human bodies, but since there is no Satan, there can be no sin. So now you got people out of the millennium to now fill the rest of the earth. But the question is, how will that happen if that's a fixed group coming out of the millennium? Answer, procreation. You and I can't have kids because there is no marriage for Old Testament saints or New Testament believers because our status will be much higher. That doesn't mean no one can have kids. There will be a whole generation of people who come out of the millennium in human bodies that will make up the nations of the world who do not get to live in Mecca, who do not get to live in the city, but will have access to the city. Why? Because they will need the branches and they will need the fruit that comes from the tree of life and the branches that provide healing. And the branches are designed to bring health and well-being. You and I don't need that because we've already gotten our glorified bodies. The only people who need that are people who do not have spiritually glorified bodies, only physically glorified bodies. And there's only one group. That's the group that comes out of the millennium. So what you have now is a group of people on earth who are conducting family business as you and I know it today, but without sin. You have life as you know it, so you will not be unaccustomed to what you see, even though you will be higher than it. There will be great fellowship, there will be great food, there will be great everything. They will come because they need it. We will come simply for the enjoyment of it. Finally, heaven will be perfect service. Verse 3 and 5 of chapter 22, and there shall no longer be any night, no need of the light or the lamp, and his bondservants, the end says, shall serve him. That's you and me. We will be his priest. Well, that makes sense. If they're kings and they're kingdoms, that means there's organization and structures and whole operations. So we're not going to be bored. We're going to be serving God, managing the universe. There will be no boredom here. So work and service will be the most fulfilling thing you've ever had. And we will be priests to the Lord, verse 6 says. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to give you tidbits of heaven while you wait for the bride to come down. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to cause you to experience God and for him to lift you up to the third heaven. You can't stay there long because you're under the curse that is living in this world. But it is the job of the Holy Spirit to give you a down payment. It's like a person who has a trust. They've got all this money in the bank, but they can't get it until they're 18. All they can get in the meantime are monthly stipends. God's got the trust of the New Jerusalem, but the Holy Spirit's job is to give you a stipend every now and then to let you know that the rest of the money is in the bank. Remember Cinderella? We'll say this in close. Cinderella had a wicked stepmother and wicked sisters, and they were all going to the ball. But through a miracle, Cinderella got to go to the ball with, guess what, glass slippers. And while she was at the ball, guess who she met? She met the prince. And when she met the prince, there was love at first sight. And when midnight came, her past caught up with her. And she had to be translated back to the real world that she knew. But she never forgot that prince. The prince went looking for Cinderella, finding out whose foot would this glass slipper fall on and fit. But while she was back at the house with the old stepmother and wicked sisters, they were trying to make her feel less than what she knew she was. Because once she met the prince, she knew she was a princess. And even though she was scrubbing the floor, she was scrubbing the floor as a princess. Even though she was ironing, she's ironing now as a princess because she met the prince. And she's doing all this stuff now as a princess now. She says, but look, I'm a princess, but they belittled her. But she knew better because she had met the prince one day. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you met the prince. But now, right now, you're having to live with the wicked stepmother named the devil and his wicked sisters called demons. And they keep telling you, you know you nobody. But God wants you to remember while you're ironing your clothes, you're a prince. He wants you to know that you're a princess. Because one day, the prince is going to find you. He's going to break heaven open and call us home. When he comes, guess what? We're going to live happily ever after. So you just remember that that prince you met at the ball on the day you were saved, even though you still may be scrubbing right now, is going to track you down, find you, and whisk you off. And forever we will be with the Lord.
If you're not completely confident that you're facing a future in heaven with the Lord, visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Jesus. You'll find a video from Tony explaining how you can be 100% certain, along with some free downloadable resources that'll help you understand what living a brand new life is all about. For Christians, today's lesson was a preview of coming attractions, What is Heaven Like? And it's part of Tony's 6-part series on the afterlife. The set covers all your biggest questions about what's out there beyond the grave, gives you a biblical look at what eternal life is all about, and describes the kind of faith you need to get it. Remember, we're offering this series as our gift when you make a contribution to support Tony's ministry on this station, but only for a few more days. Do that today at tonyevans.org or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and be sure to ask about the Afterlife CD and Study Guide package. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. A lot of people don't mind being uncertain about heaven as long as they can convince themselves that there's no hell. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain why all the opinions in the world won't really change that reality. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.